The Bloomington City Council has approved changes to its contract with Grossinger Motors Arena manager Venue Works. GLT's Ryan Denham is in studio with Mayor Terry Renner to discuss that and other action from last night's council meeting.
The mayors of Bloomington Normal join us most Tuesdays after their regular and special council meetings. Mayor Renner, thanks for your time today on Sound Ideas.
Thank you, Ryan. It's great to be here.
Well, first up, let's talk about the arena. Aldermen voted 8-1 on changes to this contract with Venue Works for the next 2 years. It has more protections in it in case the arena doesn't meet its budget expectations. Can you explain to our listeners how this will work?
Well, yeah, just to back up just very slightly, when Lynn Cannon had announced, in a sense, in her report to the council last summer, I believe, that we could expect to have about $500,000 deficit moving forward, that was pretty much unacceptable to all of the elected officials. I think that's one of the things that the 9 council members and myself all agreed on. We can do better than that, and we must do better than that. So we've had discussions by the administration and others have had discussions with Venue Works about how we can work on that moving forward. And so that's why we have this kind of, this provision that if it exceeds $350,000 as a loss, so that's at least some gain from what we were told we were expected, that this would come out of Venue Works management fees with a kind of a circuit breaker put in there as part of the give and take and negotiation, that it would not exceed 50% of their management fees. So at the point that it would exceed 50% of their management fees, then the city would be back on the hook. But frankly, if we hit that, I think that's a very bad sign for Venue Works ever getting another contract with the city moving forward. I'm confident that they're going to keep it under 350. We've had lots of conversations about how we can do that, how we can use the arena and have less time where it's vacant as we move forward, days that the city can do programming, even if those are events that we do not charge people for to get in, if they're going to come in and frankly pay too much for concessions and $9 for beer or whatever, then we're better off than if we kept the place dark. So I'm confident, cautiously optimistic, but confident that we will be able to reduce our red ink moving forward. And again, we do have the Coliseum. This is only the cost side of the ledger. And mostly people have focused on the cost side of the ledger rather than on the fact that we do, whether it's Jehovah's Witnesses or happens to be a country music concert, we do have the positive side where it does add to the economic vitality of our community.
So Venue Works has this contract with the city. It had, has 2 more years left of the initial 5-year contract. What's your understanding of why Venue Works would agree to this? It seems like they're just giving back money potentially when a contract already existed.
Well, I think they want to continue to do business with the city, and I think they will step up their game. I think this contract and the negotiations clearly suggests we will demand, in effect, that they step up their game if they're going to continue to serve our city, moving forward. And that's why I do have, as I say, I have confidence that we will make progress. And if we don't, then we will do something about it.
Yeah. Was the city considering opting out of its contract with Venue Works if it didn't agree to a change like this? Did
absolutely.
You lose that as leverage, basically?
Absolutely. That's an easy question. Absolutely.
And are you're pleased with this resolution, the way this new language is structured?
Well, pleased within the context of human reality. Would I have liked it to say zero? Absolutely. Was that realistic? It was not realistic. So within the context of human reality, I think this is probably about the best agreement that we could have gotten.
In the context of human reality, by the way, is a great name for a podcast, which I'm sure GLT will be launching here soon.
Well, that's also important in these days of fake news and people making stuff up. Not, of course, on our distinguished WGLT.
Well, that's just generous. This is Sound Ideas. I'm Ryan Denham. Mayor Renner, also last night, you and the other aldermen said farewell to 4 aldermen who are leaving the council. This is David Sage, Karen Schmidt, Amelia Burgess, and Dana Howman. That was their last council meeting. Next week, 4 new aldermen will be sworn in. So what is first on the to-do list as this new council takes shape?
Wow. Well, the first thing is, of course, is to swear them in and to welcome them, and that's May 1st. But also on May 1st, we have the IML, Illinois Municipal League Lobbying Day, which our council has usually in the past not been, it's not been well attended. And also IML conferences. I think that's really critical for our council members, and I've said this many times on this program, to get out of Bloomington, understand what other communities, either throughout Illinois or throughout the nation, if you go to the Illinois or excuse me, the National League of Cities, are doing. Get ideas. Let those germinate. And I think that's really critical for any kind of decision making. And that doesn't mean we're all going to agree. In fact, we shouldn't. The more you branch out, the more we should not agree, because you're bringing some new ideas and new thought processes to the table that many of the rest of us might not have thought about. So I think this is a good sign that we've got such great participation in the IML Day by our new council members and some of our returning council members, and then we will swear them in that evening. Now, in terms of the items that we have on the agenda, I think one of the first things we need to be looking at, again, is it's never too early to look at the budget for 2021, the 2020-21 budget, which would begin next year. And not just our operating expenses, which might be okay, we might be fine. But in terms of our capital expenditures, the kinds of things that citizens demand, like streets and infrastructure, but also the kinds of investments in our community that are essential to the quality of life. And one of the things that would be high on my priority list would to be to revisit the O'Neill Pool.
A couple of weeks ago, you were on air. You were talking about your support for kind of the aquatic center version of
that project. I'm very strongly in favor of that. I think that that is something we can afford. I think it would be a great investment for our West Side and for our community generally. I think it would have positive spillovers to the immediate area in creating a stronger community and neighborhoods on the West Side. I think it would do a lot toward reducing juvenile crime on the West Side in summertime. So for a variety of reasons, I strongly support the Aquatic Center on O'Neill Pool. But that's just one of many of our projects that we have. It's an important one. It's on our it's one of the things we're trying to get money in on a capital bill in Springfield, and there may be a capital bill. Another thing, of course, would be reexamining the Hamilton Road extension. Perhaps not as hot and sexy, but it is something that would cost more money, but it would also be something that would help in terms of traffic flow through our entire community and in terms of transportation. Connect Transit is looking, you know, at that, hoping that we build, in effect, our largest east-west corridor, if not our only real east-west corridor in Bloomington, as well as many businesses that are looking along that area. Right now, you run into the railroad tracks and Hamilton Road doesn't continue. And it doesn't take an urban planner to figure out that that would be important. And I forgot what the figure is, but something like around 23 or 25% of the traffic on Veterans Parkway would be alleviated during peak times. And that also is important for the wear and tear on Veterans Parkway and for traffic jams or traffic accidents. But it would also mean that you could go from Corporate South to the interstate on a four-lane highway without ever going on Veterans Parkway. Right. So there are lots of capital projects like that that we have on our list of our want list for a capital bill, and those are two.
Okay. One of the policy issues that I'm curious is if it's going to resurface is the Welcoming City Immigration Ordinance. This is an ordinance that was floating around, obviously, for several months in front of the council, ended up not being brought to a vote, as I think you sensed there wasn't the votes to actually pass it. Instead, you instructed the police chief to develop kind of internal policy addressing the matter. Do you sense that you have the political will now with the new slate of aldermen that are sworn in next week? Will this come up again before the council in the short term?
I would be surprised if it doesn't. Do I have the political will? I always have the political will to do what I think is the right thing to do, the right thing for our community and moving forward. And would it really change what we do in Bloomington? Probably not. And the reason I say that is because we are really already doing what a welcoming city ordinance, similar to the one passed in Normal, similar to the many, many cities throughout the United States, including those with Republican mayors. This is not really a strong ideological issue that some have tried to make it out to be, because this is not a sanctuary city. This is a welcoming city ordinance. And we already have, in terms of our practice, if you call us and you've been a victim of a crime, we are not going to check to see if maybe your visa has expired or if you are here illegally. If you call to report seeing a crime, we are not going to call ICE or try to find out anything about your immigration status. So we want people to report crimes. If they've been victims of crimes, we want them to tell us. That's part of our current police practices. We do not do ICE's work.
Do you think there's value in the symbolism of taking a vote? Even if it is symbolic, it doesn't change actual practice?
Absolutely. And I think it says to people who feel marginalized in our community. It's easy, frankly, for me being a middle-aged white guy to say, oh, I don't understand. Well, yeah, actually, I do by listening to people, and I have to. And as mayor, I have to speak up, not just for those who could speak up for themselves, but also speak up for the voiceless. And so absolutely, I do think that that would be important. Would there be 5 votes? I don't know. That is not something I asked when I met with all of the new city council members. That is not something I asked them. Yeah, that is, you know, we talked about many other things, mostly kind of bread and butter, capital projects, budget kinds of issues, and what they wanted to accomplish moving forward.
That's Bloomington Mayor Terry Renner. Thanks for your time today on Sound Ideas.
Thank you so much, Ryan. Bye-bye.
I'm Ryan Denham.
The mayors of Bloomington Normal join us most Tuesdays after their regular and special council meetings. In 2 weeks, you'll hear from Normal Mayor Chris Coos.